Hey everyone, welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Hummelman of First City Church. Every Wednesday we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today we're talking about the separatist option.
The separatist option, Mike?
The separatist option. This comes from an email that we got from one of our listeners who asked this question. How is the Benedict option different from what Christian fundamentalists have offered? They call for distinct family culture, radical departure from cultural norms, separate Christian communities of sorts, etc. And they all claim good motives at the start. We want our children to not just know of God, but to really know and love Him as His child. But then life and family get bogged down in all the particulars. We are creating a better culture than our neighbors and even fellow believers. We are more distinct. We have a better pattern. It becomes Jesus plus something. Continues on saying, I've seen and lived through so much scandal and heartache as someone who was raised in a distinct Christian community. The slide into this type of living is always gradual. People don't even realize it at first. So I'm concerned when I listen to the recent podcast and hear this book advocated. I have bought the book to read for myself and I'm working my way through it. If this book was simply issuing a call to fidelity, that would be great, but it doesn't seem to stop there. It calls for an arc, Dreher's chosen word picture for separation. Part of me hopes I'm coming from such an extremist background, and that colors how I hear the podcast and read this book. But I don't know. It seems like a repackaging of failed ideas so far. How does this book fit in with Coram Deo's value of engaging culture? Really good question.
Yeah, what an excellent and articulate question, and really the right question. I don't know. This is the first email that we got that articulated this question, but I think this is the question we should be asking about Rod Dreher's work in the Benedict option is it just a new kind of separatism? Is it just a new kind of fundamentalism? This person who's writing obviously has a personal background with sort of, so if you're newer to sort of the evangelical Christian world, there have been a lot of movements in the past 30 or 40 years and really probably going back even further than that, that have sort of in various ways been separatist. So the idea is we need to separate from culture. We need to sort of come out and be distinct. And that always has a way of getting a little bit cult-like and a little bit legalistic. And as this listener says, Jesus plus something. And so the danger is certainly present. And I do think, as this listener says, Dreher uses the word picture of an ark, which certainly connotes this idea of protectionism and isolationism. And so it's a really valid question. Chris, you weren't here for the Benedict Option podcast that we did. So this is actually your chance to speak in, not just to this question, but more broadly to this whole conversation. So why don't you tee off for us?
Yeah. So the short answer to this question is, I don't think so. I don't think it's the exact same thing, but I do hear what this listener is saying, that there is similar language, reactionary language in what Dreher is saying, that if we're not careful, can very quickly slide into kind of a fundamentalist retreat from culture. And I think this is what a lot of the critiques of Dreher's stuff have focused on, is he calling for a retreat? And he actually even says, yeah, kind of a strategic retreat from culture, get into the arc, wait it out. And for a lot of folks, especially those of us who have a more missional bent, we're like, hey, wait a minute. Are you telling me that I shouldn't be missional in this day and age? Mm-hmm. So, and as one who has also had experience in a fundamentalist world, spent a few years in an independent fundamental Baptist church, King James only, separate from the world, you name it, they did it. And knowing what that culture is like firsthand, there is something different to, if you have ever experienced this, if you've ever read their literature, engaged their ideas, there is some difference to what they're saying and what Dreher is saying. So we can't just paint with too broad of a brush. I think one of the things that I see is that Dreher is trying to, or it seems like he's avoiding a lot of the extra biblical stuff, so to speak. Like, I don't see him saying you can only wear culottes.
what are culottes for those of us who don't know?
They are long dresses or long skirts, okay. I should say, long skirts. You know, so some of the very sort of off kilter you know, and if you wear culottes, I'm sorry, I'm not knocking culottes, but there
was sort of a prescriptive morality.
Yeah, like women don't wear pants. Yep. Like that's dressing like a man, you know. So there was a heavy-handedness to bringing a lot of law and a lot of rules that were completely extra-biblical. Now, they always had a justification for it. And so that is a pretty significant difference that I think we need to understand, is that within a separatist, these separatist movements have always been a very strong, strict set of what it means to be separate and countercultural. And a lot of it had to do with extra biblical norms. And so if you read Dreher's stuff, and then you go and read stuff like Bill Gothard and others, you're going to see a significant difference there. So just on the surface, I think we have to be careful about trying to say that they're the same thing just on that level.
Okay, that's interesting. So you're saying Dreher doesn't seem to be proposing any sort of extra biblical regulations that would say, if we do this stuff, that's how we know we're real purists and real Christians and we really mean it. He just seems to be saying there are ways in which we're going to have to separate ourselves from certain trends that are present in our culture. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes. Now, where I think sometimes he walks a fine line is when he starts. So for example, schooling. Sometimes the language Dreher uses almost is, hey, to send your kid to a public school, like all Christians, you need to just pull your kids out of public school.
Well, I think he basically says that in the book.
Yeah. I mean, so that is one area where he starts to kind of walk up to those things that I think, you know, the alarm bells kind of go off for people when he's making these strong pronouncements. Now, the wisdom of your kid in public school is a question every parent should be asking. It's a very, very important piece. And so for him to address that, I think is wise and is smart, and he's understanding what's going on in the culture and what's going on in the education system. So he can't avoid that. But to make that clear of a pronouncement when in scripture, there is thou shalt not send your kid to public school. That's where people are like, hey, you know, there's a law, there's a rule that you're creating that sounds very separatist.
Okay, fair enough. So what would you say, Chris, to the pushback who would say, hey, is he allowed to assert something, right? So like, here's what I see is, even in that chapter on schooling, I'm clearly reading that as Dreher's asserting his opinion here. He thinks Christians should take this approach. And of course, he's saying it very heavy-handedly in a very strong, convincing way. Yeah. However, he's not my pastor. He's not my spiritual director. People are entitled to their opinions. And it seems like we almost have this sort of reaction of like, if anyone says anything with strength to it, well, how come we got to be prescriptive? I'm just like, well, can people have an opinion? I can be fine with Dreher saying that. And I think it can be a fair, you know, provocation for Christians to wrestle through. And so it seems to me like almost sometimes we give authors like this almost too much authority when we're like, well, I can't believe he would say that. Well,
you get
to have an opinion. He writes editorials for a living. I mean, editorials are by nature taking a position, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And here's where, again, I would see Dreher is different than the fundamentalists and separatists. So not only did these separatist movements, these fundamentalist movements separate from culture, they also separated from other Christians.
Mm, that's a good point.
Hmm. And so if you were the church that said it was okay to send your kids to public school,
or then, okay for women to wear pants,
then we're going to separate from you too. And Dreher is not saying those things at all. And so for him to assert, you make a really good point, like let him assert what he think is wise and, hey, Christians, you need to consider what's coming. But he's not going, hey, if you send your kid to public school, I can't talk to you. I can't engage you. Like, you're horrible. You're, you know, you're part of the problem. So again, that's an important difference where he's not calling for separation from other Christians. He's actually just saying, hey, Christians, wake up to what's going on in the world, and here's what we need to wrestle with and grapple with, and here's what I think is wisdom moving forward.
Hmm. He actually calls for a unification of people of faith.
Yes.
Even if they're different.
Sort of co-belligerents. Let's be countercultural together.
Yep. And admittedly, he says he's not an evangelical. Like, he's coming from a completely different. So some of these, it's funny watching him engage with evangelicals because he's almost like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you calling me? What are you saying to me? Because he does not have
the history.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, and to this listener's point, there are many people probably in the listenership of our podcast who have experiences like yours, Chris, and sort of there's been seasons of their life where they've been part of very sort of separatist kinds of churches, and that has a way of like scarring you a little bit, you know. And so you're a little twitchy toward anything that sounds like that or smells like that. And so I can understand why people would hear Rod Dreher and saying, "This sounds a lot like, you know, Bill Gothard or Doug Phillips or some of these, you know, more radical separatist movements that have existed in the past." As I read the email that you read, Mike, and sort of thought about how, I don't know, is that what Dreher's saying? I did not hear him saying that. And I think one reason, as you say, Chris, is he's not calling for sort of a secondary separation from other Christians. I'm also intrigued with what's different culturally. It's really intriguing to me to think about, like, when I'm 80, what am I going to look back on in my life and go like, oh, you overreacted to that? And what am I going to look back on and say, you really underreacted to that? You know, like, it's hard to navigate life in the cultural climate we're in. But one thing that's compelling to me is Dreher seems to put so much, he seems to be so thoroughly provoked by the redefinition of marriage and by what's going on in the world of gender. And I do think that's a defining issue in our culture. And here's why. If you think about, Chris, the old confessions and creeds, right, the Apostles' Creed and the Heidelberg Catechism and some of the historic confessions that we use, none of them ever said anything about gender. Why? Because it was so unthought of that anyone would ever, that would ever need to be enshrined in a confessional statement of like, we need to actually say men are men and women are women. Mm-hmm. But that's the world we live in now, where that's what's under fire. And I think to someone like Dreher, part of the reason he's pressing for, there are going to be ways that Christians need to form counter communities and sort of, you know, a strategic withdrawal from culture. I think it's because of how important a classic traditional understanding of gender is going to be for the health of our children, and how much our world seems to be against that right now. Like, you know, it's becoming more and more the case that in education, in politics, and even in business, if you don't have the sort of liberal view on gender identity, you're a bad person. And so it seems like there are some interesting cultural factors that, though I think the danger is people will read what Dreher is saying and some of them might try to implement it in ways that go backwards to sort of this weird fundamentalism. It seems like he's saying, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm calling us to go forward, but in a way that is going to require some counterculturalism. And it's interesting to me that the communities he seems to point to, as I said in a previous podcast, are Jewish communities and Catholic communities, which if you think about it, like, think about how Catholic schools are everywhere, right? They've always done their own education, and not because they like want to get away from the world, but just because they want to pass on a very distinct heritage. Same thing with Jewish communities. Jewish people have never been like, we can't engage in the world, but they have been, you know, we have a very particular kind of virtue and history that we want to impart. And that seems to me where the old Christian fundamentalism sort of missed the mark. Like, it was so much about separating from the world that it didn't seem to do, we want to be immersed in the world, but passing on a very particular virtue and history to our children. It was sort of more like, we don't want any of the culture to come and touch us. And it seems like if we look to the Catholic and Jewish communities, they've done a better job of being like, nope, we're fully engaged in the world, but in a way with boundaries, in a way that has sort of guardrails.
Well, this is where his language of arc, getting in the arc, may be unhelpful. Like,
yes,
in the sense, because that sounds very reactionary, because if you use
the
example,
flood is
like,
coming.
Yeah, the Jewish and the Catholic communities, there isn't a reactionary attitude and bent in those things.
That's true.
And so for, if you think of, you know, someone who reads this book now and maybe is provoked to take action, how do they keep from having a sense of like reactionary fear, like the flood is coming, the walls are crashing in, that can lead to fear and separatism? How can they sort of steer and maintain the sense of, hey, I want to create this thick, rich culture and tradition to pass down a heritage, all the while staying engaged in my world, staying participating in my world, and not separating and shunning and pulling back and having these weird, like, if you don't, you know, cross all of your T's and dot your I's exactly like I do, then I can't engage you and be in community with you. And so even that piece of, if we're all, if the culture is really headed where Dreher says it's going, and I agree with you, Bob, I brought this up in a sermon a couple weeks ago, that we live in this just weird space that you can't, it's not like black and white. It's not like in the Middle East where it's obvious to be a Christian has consequences. You can live in one part of the country and those consequences can be heavy and come at you. You live in another part of the country and you don't feel a thing. So for us as Christians to embrace and maybe to, if we embrace some of the stuff of the Benedict option, understanding that we're going to probably do it differently and that that's okay. And I think that's one way that we keep from this very heavy-handed separatist sort of, you know, attitude about the world. But then also, you know, not this like everything is going to hell in a handbasket and it's coming. And hey, 50 years from now, it might change. Donald Trump might change everything.
Oh, man.
Oops, wrong podcast. Sorry.
So what I hear you saying, Chris, is that the Benedict option can be contextualized.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think so. I think so.
Well, I'm interested in the difference between these two words, Chris, because not just you, but historians like George Marsden would say one of the traits of fundamentalism historically in America is separatism. Like this is a core mm-hmm. to sort of old school Christian fundamentalism is separatism. Is it fair to say, do you think we can parse the words to say there can be such a thing as a withdrawal that is not separatism? Or are those two words just synonyms? Because you said Dreher uses the language of strategic withdrawal, but it is interesting that it doesn't seem like he's saying put up walls and don't engage with anybody. He's just sort of in the same way that sort of the Jewish communities have said, we're withdrawing from, you know, we're not going to send our kids to your school. We're going to educate them here. But it's just because we're Jewish. It's not because we hate you and it's not because you're a bad person. It's just we have a particular heritage. And so I guess what I'm asking is, is withdrawal and separatism the same thing, or can we draw distinctions between those?
Yeah. So here's the challenges that with those words, what they provoke. Withdrawal means I was in one space and now I'm pulling back from that space because I'm no longer welcome there or things are not what I like. So I think withdrawal is different than separatist because in some sense, separatist is like, I'm just going to stay away from you. I don't like you.
Separatism seems to connect my identity to like, I'm this, not that. Like I'm separating from you.
Yes,
I can't
yes.
relate to you because it would affect my identity.
Yeah, it's going to stain me. Where withdrawal is like, I'm no longer welcome here. I've almost been forced out or the situation, I want to be here, but I recognize I can't be anymore.
I mean, if to use a bad analogy, right? If I'm an alcoholic, I'm withdrawing from the bar scene because it's not healthy for me to be here.
Yes.
Like, it's not that I don't love you people. It's just that I can't be in this space anymore and feel good about it.
Yes. And to even think of, like, with what we're seeing in our culture now is there are a lot of Christians who want to be engaged with the world. They're sort of being pushed further out. And so there is a sense where withdrawal, it's almost like I would say almost even a forced withdrawal in some regards. But here's the thing, though. In Scripture, there's this tension. What does it mean to be in the world but not of the world?
Yeah. Mm.
We're always going to be wrestling with this sense. Have I withdrawn too far? Am I too far in? There's always going to be this discomfort and this tension that we have to wrestle with, because that's just what it means to kind of have a foot in both worlds, the already, not yet. All of those tensions that Christians live in, with believing that the kingdom of God has come and is coming. So even the language of withdrawal, I think gets at the tension sometimes, but I don't know. I'm not convinced it's a super helpful word.
Okay. So summary, seems like some of Dreher's language and even the alarmism with which he writes certainly lends to the critique of that there's a reactivity here.
Yes.
And I think that's a fair critique. And I think if you read the book, you're going to feel some of that. But what I hear so I think we can make that critique and say, yeah, if he had chosen more careful language and constructed his argument in perhaps a less reactionary way, it might read a little more interesting. However, at the same time, what I hear you saying, and I think I agree with you, is, but I don't think he means to suggest that Christians must isolate. I think as I've heard you talk, Chris, what I think is interesting is it seems like what we're talking about is fundamentalism brought with it a sense of judgmentalism, right? Like you're not a good enough Christian if you don't do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem like Dreher seems to avoid that. And he's saying more of just like, hey, we just want to be confessionally robust, you know, historic Christians. And it does not require us to ostracize, judge, condemn, push away other people, but it does require us with the right kind of intentionality mm-hmm. to preserve a certain kind of faith, a certain kind of culture, and a certain kind of community for our families and for our, the people that are part of our churches.
Yeah, I wonder what it would have been like for Dreher to use the language of like First Peter, like sojourner instead of ark. This has this sense of to be a sojourner, to be an exile, to be an alien means you participate in a culture, but there's also this space where you can't and you're not welcome, and there's a tension there. So I think that's a little bit less hostile, a little less reactionary, and probably opens up some conversations about, you know, how to engage the world in a helpful way. But at the same time, Dreher, like you said, Dreher has latched on to this issue of gender and marriage in our culture, and he just sees it as the flood's coming. He's being honest. Hey, it's coming.
Yeah. So the ark image, perhaps not the most helpful, but certainly helps him make a strong case for the point he's trying to make. So to this listener, man, thanks for a really thoughtful question. This is really a wise question, and I think a fair critique of both the language Dreher is using and a fair question about whether this is what he's espousing.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please send us an email like our listener did today, engaging in this conversation or suggesting another topic by emailing us podcast@cdomaha.com or even tweet at us, Cormdale Omaha, on Twitter. And we'll talk to you again next week for another Wednesday conversation.